Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgetty Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show Adam Worsop, who is the UK Business Solutions Manager at City & Guilds. Adam, welcome to Radio EduTalk.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having me.
And just to start off with, could you give us a kind of brief background to your own career, and then maybe for some listeners who aren't aware of the work of City & Guilds, give us an insight into the work of the organisation?
Yeah, no problems at all, David. Yeah, myself, I've been with City & Guilds just a little over 4 years now. Previous to that, I worked in corporate banking, actually. So massive shift change for myself moving into the education industry, but was never too shy away from it, as I did quite a bit of training when I was at the bank and worked with a lot of the internal training departments within the bank as well. So very familiar with it, and since I moved across about just over 4 years ago to City & Guilds. Held a succession of roles within City & Guilds since then, always working customer facing with our customers, moved into the current role about 2 years ago. But essentially, City & Guilds is an organisation which has been established over 140 years. And the idea is that they develop programmes of vocational learning, learning technology, certification assessment to support colleges, training providers, governments and employers across the entire UK and across the world as well. And they are part of the City & Guilds group, which is a wider world of groups, a wider world of organisations, rather, that solely focused around education and development across the entire globe.
That's great, and we're going to have a kind of specific focus on what's going on in Scotland in tonight's show over the last over the next 20 minutes or so. So just to start off with, Adam, could you let us know a little bit about the current qualifications that are available in Scotland through City & Guilds?
Well, I mean, we've got a vast array of vocational education currently available in Scotland. Some are SCQF accredited frameworks, others not being, but mostly around the idea of being that they are vocational modern apprenticeships delivered within Scotland for Scottish learners by generally Scottish organisations, Scottish training providers or Scottish colleges included. We also do full-time education as well, and we also do maths and English development as well within that. And what the basic idea is that we deliver that within Scotland, we generate meaningful learning, which generates from generally about 60, the age of 60 and upwards. We also do adult learners as well. And we certificate and accredit that learning that takes place across the entire of Scotland. We also work with large employers and small employers to accredit their own bespoke courses that deliver to internal staff, which then upskills the Scottish workforce and accredits some of the great work that goes off. We do a lot of work, for instance, in Aberdeen. We do a lot of work on the Clyde Bank, and we do a lot of work across the entire of Scotland, whether that be accrediting already developed training courses, helping develop bespoke ones, or simply delivering that accreditation behind the modern apprenticeship programme that is so popular within Scotland at the moment.
And can I ask how you interface with, for example, careers teachers or teachers more widely within secondary schools? You know, how do they get to know about the modern apprenticeships and the other things on offer?
Well, I mean, there's a massive array of information out there offered by the Scottish Government invariably. We have a lot of information which is based on our cityandguilds.com website around Scottish qualifications in particular. You need to type in SCQF or Scottish Frameworks or Modern Apprenticeships into a City & Guilds homepage, and it'll take you to that dedicated website to tell you all that we offer in all the different sectors and various arrays within City & Guilds. However, obviously, we have boots on the ground, so to speak. I spend a lot of time up in Scotland myself, as I'm responsible for the entire of the UK and dealing with a lot of our large private training providers and large colleges. But we also have a dedicated City & Guilds account manager who looks after Scotland in its entirety. He's based within Scotland, and it's his job to go out and speak with the colleges and develop those kind of conversations, understand their needs. Also, the same with the training providers and the employers, to understand exactly what their responsibilities are, what they need to deliver to their learners, and crucially, what we need to develop on the back end of that as well. He then feeds that into the business, and hopefully the business can then deliver what the organisation is then requiring. We then have other business managers on the ground as well, for in our ILM department, for instance, our Institute of Leadership Management, around our management and leadership programs as well. So there's lots of support around that. And we have an office in Glasgow as well with a dedicated support team that sits behind our business managers to support them within Scotland and hopefully, again, listen to our customers, understand the quality that they need and deliver that quality as well and very much be have their finger on the pulse with what's happening in Scotland and what they need to deliver to their partners.
And I know, going back many years now, my father, I think, when he left school almost immediately, got involved in a City and Guilds course. And is it still the case, Adam, that you know there's something there for people who are leaving school, you know, maybe even as young as just turning 16?
Exactly, yeah. No, it's for all ages, to be honest with you. I have a City and Guilds qualification, which I earned many, many, many years ago, as I'm sure many, many of your listeners do as well. But absolutely, the idea is that it's vocational education is not to be seen as an option for people who are, let's say, no other option. They can't go to university because they haven't necessarily got the academic grades or whatever else. Vocational education is for absolutely everybody, from whatever age that might be, but from 16 and upwards, people who really want to get their hands on, understand the world of work, understand the world of the particular sector that they're particularly interested in, whether that be engineering or hair and beauty, hospitality and catering, construction, automotive, whatever it might be. The idea being is that people get an opportunity to work in the working environment, to learn on the job, to get good career options, to develop their skills, to progress into that job, onto the next job, and truly to build a career in their lives as well. We're not just talking about a standard case of you sit in a classroom and you read a book here. We're talking about the fact that they get genuine life skills, capabilities and development that they can use in the wider world and also use in their careers going forward. So apprenticeships as a whole and vocational education is for absolutely everybody, whether they be 16 years old or 50 years old and want to retrain. You know, a lot of the world that's happening across the UK at the moment with the apprenticeship levy coming in, for instance, so in England at the moment, a lot of people are looking at how they can develop staff coming into the world of work. How can they retrain those individuals? And they might be whatever age they might be, but they might be on an apprenticeship, but they might be 30 years old, they might be 25, they might be 16. So they're absolutely for everybody.
Now, I've been to a few developing the young workforce events in Scotland, and they keep mentioning the apprenticeship levy. So could you tell us a little bit more about what, as I'm assuming that many EduTalk listeners will know something of it, but maybe not exactly where we're at the moment?
Yeah, no problems at all. I mean, it's very much a guarded subject if you read a lot about it at the moment. There's a lot of contrasting information out there at the moment. But essentially what the apprenticeship levy is designed to do is to collect revenues or money from large employers over a certain threshold, which is over a £250,000 wage bill. And the idea being is the simple fact is that it comes straight out their PAYE by HMRC. It comes back into Scotland via the Barnett formula. I think it's roughly going to generate for Scotland somewhere over the £200 million mark. However, that won't reflect in the educational budgets, unfortunately, which is something that frustrates a lot of your probably listeners and probably a lot of the people as well in the wider world of Scotland in vocational education. And the Scottish Government isn't driving any further forward for that at the moment and not putting that budget to one side solely ring-fenced for education. But essentially, that fund is going to be designed to fund the education and most importantly, the vocational education within Scotland going forward. And that's being passed on from large employers, such like with a larger PAYE bill. The idea being is simply that the government simply can't sustain the amount of educational funding that they're currently putting forward. And they're asking big businesses to invest within the world of apprenticeships and actually take a greater interest in that of over and above graduates. Not just taking graduates in, but taking apprentices in as well, looking at possible lower level learners, higher level learners, and having a broad spectrum of learners across their entire workforce to both drive the economy forward and sustain it for future generations.
Now, moving on, Adam, there's many other projects and developments I know that City and Guilds in Scotland are involved in. To start off with, could you tell us about the Princess Royal Training Awards?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the Princess Royal Training Awards is for the entire UK. But I mean, if you're talking about it in the world of Scotland, I mean, the Princess Royal is is highly tied towards Scotland. She's a massive patriarch within Scotland for myself. I always see her at the rugby games, always see her supporting Scotland, which is always lovely to see. But essentially, the Princess Royal is our president at City & Guilds. She is our figurehead, if you like. We are a chartered Royal Institute, which is really a very, very big thing for us, and we're very proud of that factor. But we designed the Royal Princess Royal Training Awards. It was launched last year. The idea being it's designed to recognise businesses who really go above and beyond or really do amazing things around learning and development. So the idea being that they have a key focus around training and learning and developing their business to create a performance or their programmes are delivered efficiently and effectively internally. And their programmes have an impact and success on the organisation. Crucially, it's people within there as well. So we designed the Princess Royal Training Awards to literally deliver a kite mark, if you like, a standard to say that actually this organization does things the right way, they do them the best way, and they really invest in the individuals that work there. So we launched it last year. It was incredibly popular. It's an idea which people vote for and they have to be nominated for. And I myself have got the honor this year of actually being one of the judges on the panel to actually judge who gets the awards at the very end of it, part of a very large team that we've nominated internally and externally at City & Guilds. So it's something we're incredibly passionate about, and we've had a lot of nominations this year, and a lot of those being from Scottish businesses, which is lovely to see.
And another kind of incentive, another kind of competition that you have on the go and have done so for a number of years now is Medals for Excellence.
Yeah, I mean, Medals for Excellence is, aside from the Princess Royal Training Awards, which is designed towards employers and businesses as a whole, Medals for Excellence is designed to deliver directly back to learners, because obviously we're a charitable organisation. We are there, you know, we're in business to make a difference. And part of that is giving directly back to the learners. So every year we do a thing called the Medals for Excellence, where we award a Medal of Excellence, which is given directly to the learners, and they have to be nominated by an individual, normally their tutor, assessor, their mentor, for an outstanding piece of achievement, whether that be they've done absolutely exceptional within their course. It can be a simple personal achievement. For instance, they're a carer for a parent at home, and they've still completed their course to a fantastic extent. We've had some amazing stories over the years of people getting over true adversity. And it's simply a recognition of the fact that people have gone above and beyond to achieve education and to strive above that and to make a better life for themselves. So Medals for Excellence is simply awarded every single year. And that simply is I think we only award roughly about 80 learners every year, possibly less. And again, that's done by a panel. It's voted for as well. And it is a very small minority. If you can imagine that we award around about just over 1 million certificates every year. So we work with 1 million learners every year, just over. And we only award 80 of those. You can imagine that's a very exclusive club to be a part of and really does recognise true excellence.
And is it just through the, you know, through the courses or through the website itself that people would find out more information or about how to nominate, or is that something that comes through tutors and workplaces and colleges?
Well, it should come from all angles, if I'm being honest, David. It should absolutely come from all angles. So it should be a case of people can go to our website, which they can do, and search for Medals for Excellence, and you can find when the nominations open, which will be later on this year for the latest nominations to open. But also, you should be able to speak to your tutors, assessors, your mentors as well, and they should be able to look out for that information for yourself. People like our business managers who look after our customers are there to educate our colleges, our training providers and our employers about their Medals for Excellence as well. So they should have some form of information to give around that as well. But we do advertise extensively about it. We do put things like that out there. We do tell people exactly what it's about and exactly what it's there to deliver. But if you go to our website, cityandguilds.com, again, all the website, it tells you all the information you possibly need to know about when the entrants come out and exactly what the criteria is and what you need to put in there in order to nominate.
And the Lion Awards, does that kind of follow on from the Medals for Excellence?
That's correct, yeah. So the Lion Awards kind of rolls into the Medals of Excellence, so the Medals of Excellence kind of roll into the Lion Awards, rather. The idea being is that we host, every single year, we host a fantastic celebration for all those learners who have been awarded a Medal of Excellence. They get invited to a fantastic event, which is at a different place every year. across the UK. We've had it in some fantastic locations over the years. We've had it in, we hired London Zoo one year, which was absolutely stunning. We hired a college last year, a rural college, where we actually had it outside in a big marquee out in the outside the rural college grounds, which is absolutely amazing. And the idea is we have a big celebration where learners come from all over the globe, whether that be from England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, or even Dubai. We've had them from Africa, all over the world, where they come together, they celebrate winning their Medals for Excellence. They bring their family along, their mentor, their tutor who actually nominated them. And then they get put into categories based on how they've achieved, what they've achieved, and with general themes. And then they get voted for to win a Lion Award, which is a significant award, because, as I say, those 80, if you like, are then whittled down to a further, I think it's around about 10 categories. We do roughly, they do change year to year. We do add new categories in and take old ones away. The idea being, if they get a Lion Award, they then get an opportunity to go to the palace or go to a particular location and actually meet Princess Royal herself and get awarded the Lion Award itself, which is an absolutely fantastic achievement and a very rare rare accolade for anybody, I think, more than anything, but a really exceptional thing for these learners to get recognised just for an outstanding achievement. And it really is about really celebrating what they've actually had to achieve. So the Lion Award is just another stage from the Medals of Excellence in really putting them on top of the pedestal and showing that then they've done something fantastic. I mean, it's an amazing thing to put on their CVs for future career development.
So just coming into the last couple of minutes of tonight's show, and I'm wondering what else you feel, Adam, that that Scottish educators, maybe secondary teachers or people involved in further education should know or be aware about in terms of the work of City and Guilds?
Well, I think for myself, in raising awareness, it's all about not closing our minds to vocational education and really opening it up when we're talking about careers guidance, things like this. And, you know, it's the be all end all is not necessarily university. Not everybody has to go the route of university. And it's really about thinking about City and Guilds is there as an institution. That's exactly what we are. And we're there to deliver that lifelong learning alongside our partners across the UK and in Scotland. And it's really about educating young people that actually going the vocational route isn't seen as a lesser route of university. In fact, it's seen as a route of getting into work and getting on in that job and into the next job. And that's quite crucial. And City and Guilds is very passionate about that. We're very passionate about learning. So if I could appeal to anybody who's listening today, it would be that, you know, don't close your minds to vocational education. Really understand what it's about. Do some research into it. Understand exactly what it's there to deliver and understand what City and Guilds is there to provide to your learners, because it's over and above anything that's currently out there in the marketplace for support and guidance and future development beyond not just them saying, not just in this job, but in the next job as well, because the levels of education go from all the way from level 2 all the way up to level 7, the massive ranges of education. So I would just appeal to them to open up their careers guidance far wider.
You've been listening to Adam Worsop of City and Guilds, and Adam, I'd like to thank you for giving up your time this evening to join us on the show. As ever, if when you're listening to the podcast, if you've got any comments or questions that you'd like us to pass on to Adam, then you can contact us via Twitter or through our usual email address. But just to finish up, Adam, can you leave us with maybe your social media presence or that of the organisation, or ways that you can be contacted?
Yeah, absolutely fine. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn. If you just search my name, Adam Worsop, I'll come on there as UK Business Solutions Manager. And also, if you search me on Twitter, I'm @AdamPWorsop, all one word. And the organisation is at City and Guilds, and same say the website is cityandguilds.com. And I'd implore anybody to connect with me or follow me on Twitter, as I'm often tweeting about what's happening in Scotland or what I'm doing in Scotland or what activities we've got going on at the minute in Scotland as well. And I'm often sharing new updates from there, so feel free.
That's great. Thanks again, Adam, and best wishes.